Yours to Protect, brought to you by Southeast Radio, the IBI, and funded by Commissioner Naman with the television licence fee.
Welcome to this episode of Ours to Protect. I'm Ella, I'm 17, and I will be taking you through this series on Southeast Radio. Today's show looks at where the future of food meets the passion of young changemakers. We're diving into some of the most important issues facing our world, reducing food waste and the power of composting. From creative solutions in green schools across Wexford to innovative ways to tackle food waste, we'll hear from young voices who are leading the charge in building a more sustainable and healthy future for all. Whether you're a budding gardener, a zero waste enthusiast, or someone just curious about how to make a positive impact, today's show is packed with inspiration, tips, and practical advice you can start using today. So let's begin with a simple definition. With ChatGPT and AI telling us everything nowadays, we asked it to define for us exactly what food waste was. Let's take a listen.
Food waste often refers to food not ultimately consumed by humans that is discarded or recycled, such as plate waste, i.e., food that has been served but not eaten, spoiled food, or peels and rinds considered inedible.
This series is all about hearing children's voices and their perspective. So this episode features young people from Oilgate National School, Schoolmurra Horswood, St. Iberius National School, and Colostrabreed Carnew. We began by asking the children where they think their food comes from.
Well, I think it comes from farms that probably are a good bit far from where our homes live, and they're being transported by trucks.
Food travels from sometimes from a long way from Ireland, so say Australia, Mexico, China, all those countries, but sometimes from our country, our own.
Some food travels by road and others travel by sea, but it's better to eat food closest to us as it affects the environment better.
Food gets delivered to our homes by farmers usually, and it can also be delivered into a shop and you can buy it in the shop, or it can be delivered down to your house by Tesco or something.
Farmers go out and pick all the food and everything and then ship it to either your house or a shop so you can go get it, or you can just pick it up at your doorway.
Usually we buy the food from the shops, and the food in the shops gets delivered in some shops by local farmers, but in winter months we get it delivered from other countries because we can't produce it here.
Sometimes in shops they actually grow their own vegetables and fruit and they don't have to travel at all.
Next we moved on to food waste and what the boys and girls can do to make sure we don't waste our food and what causes food waste.
A big cause of food waste is buying too much or storing it wrong.
We could reuse the leftovers that we didn't eat the day before and use the other ones, and then make a new meal. That could be really nice.
After I eat and I haven't eaten all of it, I do what Jessica kind of said, but I put it in a container, but I put it in the oven to keep it warm. And if I'm hungry later on, I either eat it or eat it the next day.
If we're finished with food, we could just store it in a container and leave it in the fridge or something to eat later. I usually do the same thing, I put it in a container, or what I used to do when I had a dog, I used to give the dog the rest of the food I didn't eat, and I used to store my leftovers in the fridge, or I'd usually leave it on the plate and put it in the microwave maybe.
I think how food waste affects the environment. If we had so many landfills, there could be flowers instead of landfills, and the flowers wouldn't grow. Instead of getting a large portion, just get a portion you feel you'll eat all, instead of just wasting food and getting a large portion.
If we didn't take care of our planet and the food that we grow, it would take a big toll on further generations to solve the problem we created by ignoring our planet and the food that we grow.
So why is it important to reduce our food waste?
Because it helps us know the importance of growing food, and it cuts down on transport and pollution.
Waste is going into the earth. The earth is all the grass is dying, and that's not good for the earth either. So if you have leftovers, maybe feed to the birds or give to homeless, because homeless don't actually have any food.
I think it's great to reduce it, and then if you think you can eat a lot, maybe just get a bit of a smaller portion, and then if you want more, you could get it again.
If we didn't take care of the plants and the food, we obviously would have a shortage of food, and that's one thing that we need to focus on, because don't take our world, for granted.
It would be less waste and food would become cheaper.
It wouldn't be good because it could rot, and it's better to just throw it in a compost bin where it turns into soil, which could be used for flowers and new food.
The main thing is only pour out what you'll eat or what you'll use.
Reducing food waste could help combat hunger, save money, and reduce environmentally harm.
Did you know that there are different types of food waste? So what are they?
There are 7 types of food waste, including expiration, spoilage, plate waste, production waste, overstocking, over-ordering, cosmetic imperfections, and food loss.
Speaking of food waste, we sat down with Odile Lebeloc. Odile is a waste expert from the EPA, who, after hearing all about what the children had to say, chatted to us from her own expert point of view. We began by asking Odile to explain what food waste means to her and why it is such a big problem globally.
Yeah, so food waste is basically any food that could have been eaten becomes waste, is called food waste. Mm. And the reason it's such a big problem is because, number one, it's biodegradable, so it breaks down in nature. But when it breaks down in nature, it releases greenhouse gases, which are obviously a huge problem for the environment. But there's also, as well as that response, you know, food when it is wasted, there's all the ingredients and all the energy and transport and everything that's gone to make that food, the fertilizer, the water, is also being wasted. Mm-hmm. So there's hundreds of embedded resources in the food as well.
So what are some of the main causes of food waste?
The causes of food waste, it's why it's such a challenge, because it sounds like a relatively simple problem, but it's never one particular reason. So in our homes, it could be a multitude of reasons, but you can actually break it down to we buy too much and we don't use it on time. That's ultimately what it boils down to.
How much food do we waste on average in Ireland and elsewhere around the world?
In Ireland, if we're looking at food waste all across the supply chain from farms all the way to our home, we waste about 750,000 tonnes a year. And that's probably, if you think about it, that's equivalent to a car weighs a tonne. So 750,000 cars are wasted every year from all across the supply chain.
Next, Odile tells us how food waste affects the environment and contributes to climate change.
Food waste breaks down, you know, when it's biodegraded, it releases greenhouse gases. But it's also even just the volume having to manage food waste. You need land or you need some kind of treatment to deal with it. So anaerobic digestion or composting, so all of that, you know, obviously has an impact on the environment. There's emissions from it that can cause pollution, so they need to be controlled. But the biggest issue is the greenhouse gases that come not only from the food waste, but then also wasting all the resources that have made our food.
What is the connection between food waste and greenhouse gas emissions?
When food biodegrades, it releases methane, but then ultimately you have all the greenhouse gases that come from emissions of all the resources that have gone into the food, so the energy to transport it, you know, often it gets cooked in the home or refrigerated, all of that. Food waste isn't really considered a climate action, but actually it's a really important climate action. You know, I say this actually, you know, food waste happens in our kitchen, so it's actually something you can do 3 times a day is reduce food waste.
This series is all about young people, so we asked Odile why it is important to teach kids about food waste and sustainability.
Children are very, they're very environmentally minded. They care about the environment. When you hear them talking about it, you know, they really think about the environment. And in fact, you know, maybe they don't realise that wasting food is something that they could do to reduce their impact.
So how can schools, parents and communities help kids build better habits around food?
I think actually one of the really important things is kids need to gain confidence around food, because a lot of the time, maybe, you know, homes are very busy now, so maybe they don't see people cooking from scratch at home, whereas back, you know, years ago, people used to learn from their mother, from their grandmother. So I think one of the things they do need to learn actually is a little bit about where their food comes from, but also to understand just how, what you can do with it, like really simple things. Get them cooking at an early age, get them contributing to the shopping list, you know, kind of understanding maybe the foods that they like, that they don't like. like, obviously you like to encourage them to try everything. You know, you can't just not like something and never eat it again. But I think that just kind of having them comfortable around food and, you know, eating family style is a great thing as well, that everyone eats at the table and is enjoying the same food as well. I think it's so important when you see that, you know, a lot of young people nowadays don't know when they leave home, they don't actually know what to do with food and they're not confident. They're worried about dates. Oh, I can't eat this, it's going to poison me. And one of the things that the EPA does is we ask householders, we do national surveys to ask people what are the reasons why they waste food. And one of the things they do say actually is because they didn't use it on time, and it could be that the use by date went past, but they also mentioned that the best before date went past, you know. And actually it's really important to understand the difference. So like a product that will have safety issues once the date has passed will have a use by date. So that's the date that you need to worry about. But all is not lost. If the date is coming up and you're not going to use it on time, you can still freeze something and, you know, or you can cook it and use it another time. So just because your plans have changed and you've something about to go off in your fridge with a use by date, it doesn't mean that you have to throw it away. Best before has nothing to do with safety. Best before is only to do with kind of the quality of an item. So they're put on products so that people, consumers, can have confidence around food, like when it was picked and how long it's been on a shelf, that kind of thing. But there isn't a safety issue after that date. So we'd always recommend, once the best before date has passed, you can use your senses. You can smell it, you can taste it, you can look at it. You know, it's not going to poison you once the date has passed. So some products, actually, they've started removing best before dates because that not everything has to have a best before date. So things like vegetables, fruit, that doesn't need a best before date on it.
As an expert in this field, we wanted to know, what are some fun and easy ways for kids to reduce food waste at home or in school cafeterias?
I think what the some great things that you can do at home actually is a little bit like talk about what you like to eat, have food maybe, you know, that your parents know that you like to eat. Some of the things that can be fun is have a shelf, you know, an area on the shelf in the fridge that says eat me next. So if there's things, you know, and as a child at home, you could even go through the fridge and see things that are, you know, coming up to their dates maybe that need to be used. And maybe one evening have a bit of a challenge. How do you make it into something as well? You know, try it. And then, you know, little things, I heard some of the kids mention that as well. Maybe, you know, like only pour out what you're going to have. Maybe don't go overboard on things. Have a second portion rather than, you know, throw everything into a massive bowl. And I think in school, one of the big things is that it's kind of it's nearly like a, you know, do you eat or do you play? It can be a bit of a challenge. Have you got time to play with your friends, hang with your friends, or do you actually have your food? So maybe that's also something to be a bit realistic about the time you have in school. And, you know, maybe not to bring a full big lunch with you. If you find you don't eat that in school, maybe bring something a little bit lighter, something easier to eat in school, and then have a bigger snack when you go home in the evening. Maybe, you know, in the afternoon, have something a little bit more substantial to tidy over until dinner. So they're kind of some of the things I think. Talk to your parents a little bit about, you know, food at home, and like that, explain maybe certain foods and why you can't finish it in school. And, you know, don't go around for weeks with your squashed sandwiches at the bottom of your bag either.
Working with the EPA, we wanted to know about some creative or successful projects ODEAL has seen that tackle food waste.
Like I said, there isn't one simple solution. So there's some nice things. Actually, what's one really fun thing that maybe kids could get involved in? What we find actually is if households measure their food waste for a week. So maybe, you know, most people will have a caddy in their kitchen now because they'd be keeping their food waste separate to go into their brown bin. So maybe just actually measure what you're throwing out just for a week. Just look at it. You know, you could weigh it. You could write down what it is and identify what you're throwing out and why. Mm-hmm. And that'll actually help you look at maybe what you should not be buying as much of, or maybe it's something that you didn't know you could freeze. And, you know, if you go to the stopfoodwaste.ie website, you can find out there where you can you know, what you can freeze, what you can eat better, how you might store it better, better ways to keep it. And I think actually that's a really good initiative. You find most people that do that then become more aware of their food waste, and they're saving money when they do that as well. You know, it's a no-brainer. But if you also look, say, businesses around the country are also looking at how they can reduce food waste. So something actually they do in canteens and cafeterias is they might provide slightly smaller plate for it. So when people serve themselves, you know, they don't serve as much, because that happens. And we've done it as well. You go to a breakfast buffet, you know, and you pile your plate high and you don't eat everything, you know. So if you have a slightly smaller plate, you actually won't put as much on, and you can still go back for more. Yet again, it's not depriving people of food, but, you know. And then we have other businesses who are looking at their processing. So, you know, we know an example of a company based down in Cork who make jars of beetroot. And what they were finding was, you know, they were peeling the beetroot and they had loads of beetroot peel as a waste, you know. But actually they found if they cooked the beetroot first, then they could peel it more efficiently mm-hmm. and they weren't wasting as much.
What gives you hope when it comes to fighting food waste and protecting the planet?
Well, I think the hope is that when you talk to people, you don't need to convince them that wasting food is wrong. You know, there's a lot of other environmental issues where you do have to have a conversation and convince them that there's a problem that needs solving. But most people, when you talk to them, they say, actually, it's not great. We don't think it's a good idea. Start small. You don't have to solve all the problems all at once. You'll find once you start, you'll look at other things, but like just pick the one thing. But to me, it would be pick the thing you waste the most. So you kind of need to work out what that is and then work on that and see, is there a way you can buy it better? Is that, you know, maybe don't buy as much or buy it in smaller packs or, you know, buy it sliced so that you can freeze a bit when you bring it home, you know. And then it's like I said, it's about that storing, making sure that you keep it fresher for longer. If your plans change, you can pop it in the fridge. So just for that one thing, just make a plan just for that one thing and you'll find even that it'll save money and obviously it'll save the planet.
And finally, we asked if she could give just one message to young listeners about food and sustainability. What would it be?
I think my big message is we really need to reduce the amount of food we waste in the first place. So obviously any food waste that's unavoidable needs to be composted and needs to be dealt with properly. But before you think of composting, think first, is there something we could do differently to not waste that food in the first place? That's the most important. But not to be disheartened. It's something you can do every day. It's happening every day in our kitchens and you can start again tomorrow. If it's not perfect today, you can do it again tomorrow.
Moving on to composting. So what exactly is it? Let's ask ChatGPT again.
Composting is the managed, aerobic, oxygen-required biological decomposition of organic materials by microorganisms.
Now, what do the young people think?
Composting is a process in which food decomposes into nutrients for our plants, which really helps the plants to grow.
Composting is a natural process where microorganisms like bacteria and fungi break down organic materials like food scraps into a rich, nutrient-filled soil amendment.
It's a thing where you get like this container and then you can put like your food waste in it, like banana peels, bits of gone off things and eggshells, I think.
Potatoes.
Yeah, what
carrots,
else? Yeah.
Apple cores and eggshells.
So what can you put in the compost bin and what can't go in?
So I have a compost bin at home and we also have one in school. So what we do is we put in food waste such as fruit, vegetables, coffee and tea bags. Mm-hmm. But we don't put in like food such as bread and meat because it can attract rats. Okay. So we also put in garden waste such as like grass clippings, leaves and everything like that.
The main kinds of food that can be composted are non-processed food scraps and organic materials such as fruit and vegetable scraps and pencil toppings. Some examples of things that shouldn't go into the compost bins are plastic, dairy, meat or any processed food such as bread or rice.
The things I think that can go in the compost bins are orange peels, pencil sharpenings, cardboard, non-recyclable things. Say you have like a frube, it still has leftover yogurt. You wouldn't put that in the compost bin because like it still has the recycling bit in it. So if you want to put one in, I think you should wash it out and then put it into like the recycling bin.
We've actually sent out posters of what not to put in the bins. So what not to put in the bins is basically like tissues, yogurts, plastic forks, everything like that. But what can go in the bin is fruit, cardboard, paper shreddings and hay.
What I think is most ideal to be put in a compost bins are fruit waste, like apples, orange peels, because if you put the oranges in, that's too much citric acid. Cardboard to help fasten the process. Mm-hmm. And what you shouldn't be putting in the bin is probably like, say, bread and sandwiches and stuff, because rats can get into that and that won't be good for a compost bin.
Look at what Maya said. We sent out posters, and before we sent out the posters, even the sixth classers were struggling carrying the bins. So it was harder for the third and fifth and fourth. So we decided to make the posters. And what shouldn't go into the bin is probably not a lot of meat, not dairy, not a lot of materials, but cardboard and paper can go in, just not the rest of the materials. And what can is probably apple cores, banana peels.
Why is composting so important for the environment?
If, like, we didn't do, you know, composting, it would kind of, like, it would ruin the plants.
If we didn't compost, there would be a bit more landfills and bigger holes, and that's not good for the earth. But since we've started composting, the holes are getting smaller and we don't need as much holes.
While it might take a while at first, it does get going and it does provide a natural fertiliser for plants around the school and at home as well.
Can composting play a role in combating climate change?
So composting reduces greenhouse gas emissions by diverting organic waste from landfills where it would otherwise decompose and release methane, a greenhouse gas, into the atmosphere. So anything like fruit and veg scraps, coffee grounds, tea bags, kitchen paper, feathers, manure and shredded wood are suitable. And then things that should be avoided are any meat, dairy, greasy foods, pet waste, fish and oily foods, human waste and glossy paper.
We have composting going on in school and the sixth class do it twice a week. Would anybody like to tell Brona what the process is, what we do for our composting? Oh, there's Paul. Go for it.
Go on, Paul.
Every Monday we collect the compost bins and distribute them to every class. Then all the classes will put all their compostable waste in it. And then on Wednesday it will be emptied out into our compost bins. Perfect. And then they will be distributed back to the other classes and took again on Friday. And we have special bins for composting.
Now, this year's hasn't been the best, but what do we use the compost for?
Planting flowers and other vegetables.
I think it's important for the environment because it provides a natural fertilizer for the plants. We're not harming the environment or local ecosystems and biodiversity with chemicals. So instead we're using a more natural approach to it, and we're also improving like life for insects, mm-hmm. pollinators and worms, which are vital to plant growth and health. So this way it is really important for the environment, and it's just a great alternative to using harsh chemicals.
Compost is a natural fertilizer and it also provides the soil with much needed nutrients. It increases the soil's ability to hold water, but it also reduces the need to use chemical fertilizer. Compost encourages healthy plant growth, but it also reduces the chance of plant disease and pest problems. Composting can reduce waste in landfills because it's less food waste that's being thrown out. But also, my mum would love like gardening and all, and we'd have a compost bin at home, and she'd always take the food and she'd use it out in the plants then. And even like farmers nowadays are using more compost as like natural fertilizers instead of chemicals.
Can composting play a role in combating climate change?
I do think it can play a role. I don't know if it'll be a massive role, but I think it's a good step for people to start composting more. Because like even like because it's a natural fertilizer, it's better than having all the carbon emissions coming out from like manure for like farmers and all. Mm-hmm. So it's like less greenhouse gases and all.
Up next, we chat to local business owner and recycling enthusiast Joe O'Connor. Joe set up popular coffee shop, the Clove Alley, in the summer of 2023. The business is thriving and provides all types of coffee and hot drinks, as well as toasties, acai bowls and sweet treats. The Clove Valley has successfully started an initiative where all its cups and bowls used are fully recyclable. They also allow customers to take home coffee grounds for their gardens too. So we sat down with Joe to hear more about what he does.
So we originally were looking at compostable bowls and compostable cups, but the manufacturer said that there is a shift away from all compostable stuff and more to recyclable stuff, mainly to go with the EU initiative. Ireland is really good at compostable, so it's probably a bit unfortunate that we're gone away from that, but because the EU are pushing recyclable, now Ireland is sort of following along. And being honest, it suits a business owner because recyclable is cheaper for us to buy. There is different levels of recyclable cups and bowls that we use. Our manufacturer now is the first in Europe, they reckon, that are going to be using fully recyclable bowls. So that's obviously a massive positive.
Next, Joe breaks down the cost and if the customer is affected.
Our cost, depending on if it's compostable or recyclable, will vary. No is the answer to does the customer's cost change. We opened last June, and we have kept our prices the very same. So there's been obviously costs outside of packaging that have increased, our raw materials, but we have kept our prices the very same. So while prices have fluctuated, we've kept our prices the same.
A few years ago in Killarney, 45 businesses agreed to swap their single-use cups in-store and instead implemented the to-go cup deposit and return scheme as their option for takeaway drinks. We asked Joe if something like this could happen in Wexford.
It was a brilliant initiative and I really liked the initiative. I suppose being strong on it consistently is a tough gig. Realistically, you're probably going to turn away a lot of customers if you only have reusable cups. Because I haven't seen much about it in Killarney now lately. I don't, as far as I know, it's not as strong as it was in the first couple of months. Look, while the idea is really, really good, it's probably something that's going to take a massive shift in attitude to really implement. And while it's probably the old cliche, there's strength in numbers. So fair enough, everyone paddles around both, but it really would help, I suppose, if we had everyone maybe getting on board, and that's fairly tough.
To finish up today's episode, we asked the students if they could pick fruit and vegetables to grow in their perfect garden that they designed themselves. What would they pick and why? Here's what they had to say.
If I were to design a perfect garden, it would have fruit trees that produce flowers for the bees and butterflies, bird houses, a bird bath, a bug hotel, a butterfly hut, and a bee garden like our school. It would have herbs such as mint, basil, and thyme because they help birds and bees stay hydrated. They would have enough sunlight and space. It would have flowers like wildflowers and lavender, like our school. I would have pumpkins for jack-o'-lanterns at Halloween. I would also have vegetables such as kale and spinach.
In my favourite garden, I would like a greenhouse with, like, say, seeds, like tomato seeds, apple seeds, and, like, fruits and vegetables, as well as, like, flowers like roses, dandelions and all.
I'd have like a bunch of fruit and vegetables. I'd like take care of them every single day and water them, and I'd always keep an eye on them.
Same as Jonathan, I would like a greenhouse, but it would be filled with tomatoes, strawberries, watermelon, all that healthy stuff, and maybe even peas as well. And outside that, there would be like a nice little patch for like pumpkins or everything like that, and flowers.
I would love to have lots of fruits in my garden, especially berries, because they're my favourite. And I would love to have a few apple trees and lots of different cherry trees as well.
We'd have a fruit patch.
Strawberries and
raspberries.
Oranges.
Oranges?
Yeah.
And blackberries.
Plums.
Cucumber. Carrots. Potatoes. And eggplant.
I'm not on about food here, but okay. You'd use old milk cartons and tires. You'd use the tires for planting flowers and fruit and everything, and then milk cartons for bird feeders.
Instead of planting flowers in the ground, you can use old wellies to plant them in.
I would like a lot of fruit and vegetables, and I would like peas, tomatoes, potatoes, onions, lettuce, strawberries, watermelon, and all that kind of stuff. And I'd like to have a little shed with all my stuff in it, like with shovels and like my water hose or anything like that.
Take a minute before you bin it!
We hope today's conversation sparked some new ideas and inspired you to take action reducing food waste and even starting your own composting journey. Remember, change starts with all of us, and it's the young voices who are helping lead the way. If you missed any part of today's show, don't worry. You can catch the full episode online or join the conversation on our social media channels. We'd love to hear how you're making a difference in your community. Until next time, keep growing, keep reducing, and keep composting. Together, we can make the future a greener, more sustainable place for everyone. Remember, every little thing you do, like eating leftovers or choosing foods that are better for the earth, helps make our world a greener place. Keep being curious, keep saving food, and keep helping the planet.
Hours to Protect on Southeast Radio.
Hours to Protect, brought to you by Southeast Radio, the IBI, and funded by Commissioner Naman with the television licence fee.